I'm very happy to welcome to the program now Jeff Thomas. He's the Executive Director of the Southwest Care Center, and Stella Reed, the Director of Resource Development there. And it is this coming Friday, the 15th of October, National Latino AIDS Awareness Day. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks for having us.
So we haven't had you guys on for a while, but a very important issue, and people don't talk as much about AIDS and HIV as they did in the 80s and 90s. Latino AIDS Awareness Day, what kind of AIDS and HIV infections are we talking about here in the Southwest, here in New Mexico, in terms of Latinos being at risk for AIDS and HIV?
Well, I can tell you that on the national level, Latinos still remain a very high-risk group. Certainly the African-American community continues to be the majority of new cases. And in northern New Mexico, I can tell you that we are experiencing a serious problem with respect to new diagnoses in the state. We in Santa Fe and the northern counties are seeing about 48% of the new diagnoses are people of Hispanic origin, Latinos. And as a result, we're really trying to target that community to encourage earlier testing. That seems to be the biggest push that needs to happen right now, is people need to be aware that testing is available, rapid testing in particular, where you can get your results in 10 minutes with a simple finger stick.
That's not the way it used to be. You had to go and get a blood sample.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And wait 2 weeks for your results.
Yeah.
Yeah, this makes it a lot easier. And the good thing about it is that if someone were to test positive, we could bring them immediately into care, as we provide medical and treatment services for people with HIV and AIDS at Southwest Care Center, as well as case management services. No one's ever turned away because of inability to pay.
That's huge.
Mm-hmm. We have pharmacy, we have behavioral health, we have all kinds of different programs there to meet the needs of folks.
Now, let's go back to this question. When one group is more at risk than another, let's talk about Latinos in the United States and in New Mexico. Why is that group more at risk? What kind of risky behaviors are people doing?
Again, on a national level, the most prevalent behavior or risk factor that people with HIV report is men who have sex with men. Okay? So on a national level, roughly 54% of new cases reported are men who have sex with men. That's followed by about 30% who are identifying as heterosexuals who are at risk. And that risk is defined as either having sex with a known injection drug user or having sex with someone who is known to be HIV positive. And then
without a condom.
Exactly, unprotected sex. And then 12% of new cases nationally are through injection drug use. In New Mexico, the new cases, 60% are MSM, or men who have sex with men, 10% are injection drug use, and about 6%, I believe, are reported as heterosexuals at risk. So here we have men who have sex with men still being the largest risk group.
Now, when you talk about men who have sex with men, using that terminology points to people who don't identify as homosexual necessarily or bisexual but still have sex with men. That's it points out how hard it is to get people to talk about their real behaviors in terms that are helpful to understanding epidemiology.
That's
true. And actually we're seeing a phenomenon where women who are coming in newly diagnosed, who have been in committed relationships, are being infected by their partners. At least that's what we are led to believe. And that's because of the phenomenon of married men going out and having sex with other men and then bringing home the infection and sharing it with their partners.
And that's something that we see in other countries, too. Marriage is not a protection at all.
No. And also we're seeing an increase in infections of women over 50. For some of those same reasons, but also that they're postmenopausal, not worried about pregnancy, don't use protection, and then end up infected.
So in New Mexico, the heroin capital of the known universe, mm-hmm. injection drugs are not is not the a leading source of infection?
It's not. There's probably a few reasons for this. We recently came across a study, though, that showed that, well, the heroin that's being used in northern New Mexico is the black tar, which is very sticky. So people are tending to clean their works, to clean their syringes out, just because of the nature of the heroin. It clogs everything up.
Clean them with bleach?
Or even just water. Anything is helpful. But if they are cleaning them and they're cleaning them with bleach, then that certainly adds an extra protective thing going on there if you're going to be sharing your works. But we think that that might be one of the reasons why.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Also, New Mexico has got a very vigorous syringe exchange program.
Mm-hmm.
So people have access to clean needles. And I think that our harm reduction and prevention programs through the Department of Health have been very successful in that regard. We actually go out once a month, a mobile unit, up to Chimayo and Española in conjunction with the Santa Fe Mountain Center. They provide a needle exchange service, and then we go up and do rapid testing for folks who are at risk.
Doing the education, I mean, certainly with drug users or with any group that you think is at risk, how do you get to them? How do you tell people in such a way that they can hear it and that they will actually get tested, hey, the way you're living puts you at risk for HIV?
Well, we have a new bilingual campaign going on called Es Mejor Saber. And
It's better to know.
It's better to know your HIV status. And our prevention specialist, Fernando Casados, who's a Santa Fe born and raised Latino man, has come up with this this project. And he's designed the logo to look very norteño. It's sort of tattooish looking. It's
right.
Got a heart. And this is actually the logo that's going to be reproduced as a mural on the side of the old Cloudcliff Bakery on October 15th for National Latino AIDS Awareness Day.
Wow.
So we'll talk about that.
Now known as El Patio.
El Patio Cafe. We've got a whole event happening around that. But the idea is to make it something that's attractive, to have the logo be something that folks will turn and look to and say, oh, what is that, and then pick it up and read about it. I think it's important to talk about the fact that people are waiting way too long to get tested.
Yeah.
And what we've seen is an increase in not just HIV, but in AIDS diagnoses.
The term people is concurrent diagnosis.
Concurrent diagnosis. They're showing up in emergency rooms. They're showing up at their local clinics with signs and symptoms of AIDS, often overlooked by the providers because they don't know what it is that they're looking for.
Well,
and
that's
so not
a little scary.
Tested. Well,
there are people in, let's say, rural health clinics or urban health clinics who have patients come in and they don't recognize that these people
of HIV.
They might have HIV or
So that's
AIDS.
Another part of the project that goes hand in hand with this is educating providers to be aware of the signs and symptoms and to actually have discussion and conversation with the folks that are coming in and then offering AIDS testing. So we're hoping to eliminate that tragedy of people coming in very, very ill and getting their diagnosis as HIV before it actually becomes AIDS. It's a lot easier to treat when that happens. Not that we haven't been able to help the folks that have been concurrently diagnosed, but
I mean, it used to be a death sentence. If you had HIV, you were going to get AIDS and you were going to die. That's no longer the case.
No, in fact,
what we're seeing now is because of the successful treatments that are available, we're dealing with diseases of aging rather than AIDS-related conditions. People are dying from heart disease, liver disease, the kinds of things that growing old brings us as our systems start to break down. For the population we serve, we've got approximately 600 patients that we're taking care of. Now, over 40% of that 600 patients is now age 50 or older. So we're dealing with HIV and aging daily. I did want to get back to what Stella was commenting on regarding the concurrent diagnoses. I don't have specific numbers nationally, but I want to say that the trend is about low to mid 30% range for people who are diagnosed late in the disease progression. In New Mexico, statewide, the average is 39%. So we're above the national average as a state. But in northeastern New Mexico, in the counties we serve, we're at 45%.
So that means that people are getting diagnosed later.
Much later, ending up, as Stella said earlier, much sicker. Cost of care goes up. The recovery period is a lot longer. Most of the folks that we see, we are able to help them get back to a reasonable level of health. But unfortunately, others are, it's too late.
And so there are still people who are dying of AIDS in the state of New Mexico.
Exactly.
When it could be at least managed.
Mm-hmm.
What is the state of health care and what's in the works? What are your great hopes for the next stage of health care for HIV and AIDS?
Well, like Jeff was saying, it's become a lot of managing the health problems of aging. But our main focus is to get people tested across the board, just have people tested and then get into care.
In addition to being an outpatient primary care center, we do a lot of clinical research, so we are consistently on the cutting edge in terms of access to new medications.
Are there new medications?
There are. Interestingly enough, the pipeline, as it were, is slowing down. There are lots of good choices out there. Doctors have, the ability to treat people with a variety of agents that have minimal side effects now, quite frankly. We now have a one-pill, once-a-day treatment regimen, which is phenomenal. And it is the, first-line treatment for newly diagnosed patients.
It used to be a handful of pills that you would have to take three times a day and around your meals, and some had to be refrigerated. And
I know. I had a friend who was diagnosed in 1982, and we thought why are you even going to graduate school? He is still with us. He used to take that huge handful of cocktails and wash it down with beer.
Not advised.
I know. He attributed it to his white trash roots, that he had a strong immune system and has survived beautifully. And that's what's happening now. People are surviving well.
Yeah.
They are. They're living full lives.
Yeah, and normal lifespan.
Normal lifespan, fully functional, members of the community working, contributing.
Yeah.
Which is probably why it has gone out of the public's mind. It's just not at the forefront of people's thoughts anymore.
Exactly.
You don't see people dying from it. You don't see folks with having a very hard time that are having... have this illness.
But here you are at Southwest Care Center and you see patients all the time and you see people who are struggling and are still out there in the world trying to educate both the public and the healthcare system.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And it is really the responsibility of the healthcare community to promote routine testing. It's really something, the CDC has recommended it now, that anybody age 14 and older should routinely be tested for HIV. It just should be a normal part of your lab work. You go to see your doctor, and it should just be as common as a CBC.
That seems, to the person who's not in healthcare, that seems excessive. I mean, people who have no known risk factors at all, people who are in, let's say, monogamous heterosexual relationships with non-drug users should still get tested?
The CDC recommends it. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are people who believe they are in monogamous heterosexual relationships who end up getting infected.
Right.
So thereby, the CDC guidelines suggest you may not think you're at risk.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so basically, sexual dishonesty is the problem here.
Mm-hmm. And that's where just simply going in to get an HIV test can open up the conversation about what is it that you're doing. Let's talk about your sexual history. Let's talk about what you're doing currently sexually. Let's talk about your drug use. And let's examine your behaviors. So even if you were to walk out of a testing session negative, you will have gotten the conversation going. You will have had the opportunity to sort of look at what it is that you're doing in your life with your health and with your behaviors that could be putting you at risk.
It's interesting when policies like that change. It's a different world than it was. I mean, I think about 10 or 12 years ago, I went to county health, and I just wanted to have a full screening on all of that stuff just to eliminate any doubt in my mind. And they gave me a bunch of questions. And they finally said, why are you here? Like, I'm wasting their time.
Well, I would hope that that attitude has changed in the ensuing years. I think that
I didn't mind. It kind of made me feel better. But
yeah. Well, again, in the CDC guidelines, you have the option of opting out. I mean, you're not. It's not mandatory.
Right, of course.
You can elect not to get tested. It's just that they recommend that everyone be tested. Because one of the things that's beneficial in that is this. The earlier we test, the earlier we treat, the better the outcome for the individual and the greater benefit for the public health overall. Again, it's believed that some number of people, 30 to 50% of people infected with HIV, don't even know their status. They don't know they're infected.
30 to 50%, that's a lot.
I mean, I may be exaggerating, but it's at least a third of the people living with HIV don't know their status. And that's why it's so important to get them tested, because they represent a certain public health risk.
Mm-hmm. Is the testing relatively inexpensive?
If you come to us, it's free.
Right, but I mean, it does cost money somewhere in the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, the CDC pays, you know, they fund programs such as ours to provide the testing to the community. If you go to your doctor and they do the conventional laboratory test where they send the blood out and it takes 2 weeks to get the results, yeah, there's going to be a charge associated with that.
Right.
And, of course, insurance plans are wanting to challenge that because they are the ones who end up having to pay for that for the most part.
So this is like the equivalent of like the needle stick now. It's like the equivalent of those home pregnancy tests.
More or less,
look at the thing.
I think people sort of equate it more with a diabetes test because it's a finger stick.
Right. So a tiny drop of blood comes out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you're actually correct that the device itself is...
It is like an EPT, yeah.
It's a bar
stick
that you put the blood droplets on there, and then you wait 10 minutes, and the line either shows up or...
And what about false positives and false negatives on that test?
Pretty accurate.
It's better than 99% accurate. Yeah.
Wow, okay. Well, that's an improvement, too, since in the old days, again, there used to be both false positives and false negatives, which scared the living heck out of people. We're talking to Jeff Thomas and Stella Reed of the Southwest Care Center. So let's go back to National Latino AIDS Awareness Day, which is happening this Friday, the 15th of October.
Yeah, it's like we said, it's a national program, and we're actually collaborating with the National Latino AIDS Awareness Day to run some surveys around town. You might see us out there with our clipboards sort of asking people what they know about the day and trying to gather some data that way. But we also have an event that will be between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock on October 15th, right at the corner of Lena and 2nd Streets in the old Cloudcliff building, which is now the El Patio Cafe. And we have the mural from the Es Mejor Saber logo being reproduced on the side, the south-facing wall of the old Cloudcliff Bakery by...
Nice. The street wall.
Yes,
facing
the outside
2nd
wall.
Street.
Yes. Yeah, it's going to be a public mural. And we've got some local aerosol artists, John Santos and Guadalupe Vargas, are going to be painting that so people can come by and see that in the process, see it happening. We'll also have inside El Patio DJ 13 pieces and the Harambe Movement B-Boys, break dancers. Dancing, and there'll be food and drink, and we'll also be providing free anonymous HIV rapid testing there on the site.
So you can go into the other room, get a finger stick.
We'll have tents set up out in the parking lot.
Oh, okay.
Out in front of the old Cloudcliff, yeah.
And what time is all that starting and ending?
It starts at 3 and ends at 6.
3 to 6 in the afternoon,
mm-hmm.
this coming Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So for more information, people can go to southwestcare.org. By the way, if people don't have the ability to come this Friday, but they do want to get tested, how can they do so?
They can call Southwest Care Center and make an appointment. It's anonymous. Don't give your name when you call. Just say that you're calling in regards to HIV testing, and we do that every Monday night, and we do it between the hours of 5:30 and 7.
What's the number there?
505-989-8200.
989-8200,
extension 0. If you're in the long distance calling area, it's 888-320-8200. And again, you hit extension 0.
And where is the center?
The center is not far from the hospital, from Crystal St. Vincent. It's off of Harkle Road, the corner of Galisteo and Harkle, just off of St. Michael's Drive.
Right.
We also do free anonymous rapid testing in
Taos once a month at Dr. Larry Schreiber's office. We also go out to other community venues. We are at the Santa Fe Recovery Center once a month. As I mentioned earlier, we go up to Chimayo and Española for the needle exchange program, as well as we go to a high-risk crisis pregnancy program up there and do testing of partners of the women there. And we do other community events. We certainly have, you know, done Pride here in Santa Fe for many years, and then down
health
in Albuquerque we did Pride the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. The annual Gay Pride Festival and Parade.
Right. So, again, the underlying message here is get tested. Please get tested, because es mejor saber.
Es mejor saber.
It's better to know.
Anything else that you want to let people know about?
We have another event coming up. Actually, we have a few things that we're participating in. We're collaborating with El Museo Cultural for the Dia de los Muertos, and Southwest Care Center is going to be building an altar there. Our staff and our clientele will be producing an altar that will be in El Museo, and that will be open to the public on the 29th of October, and there'll be a celebration on that day, and then again on November 2nd. So we'll have an altar there built that will be representative of the loved ones that we've lost to this illness. And then on a more happy note, on November 20th at the Hilton, we have our annual fundraising gala, the Aid and Comfort Gala. This year the theme
is
Casablanca.
That's a big event every year.
It is. It's a lovely, fun event. And this year's theme is Casablanca Nights. So we're going to have Rick's Cafe American, and we'll have some gaming tables in there. We've got roulette and craps and blackjack and poker.
And people
all
should,
with funny money.
All with funny money.
All with
no
funny
real
money.
Gambling.
People should see the movie before they go and then try to get an outfit like one of the many outfits that Ingrid Bergman wears during that film. I don't know how she had that many things in her suitcase on the way.
I know.
But anyway, that sounds like a wonderful event. Jeff Thomas is the executive director. Stella Reed is the director of resource development. Thank you very much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Thanks
Appreciate
for having
being
us.
Able to spread the word.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe, and my email address is radiocafe@ksfr.org. Stay tuned for the BBC, then local news, then jazz.